Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
So hello, I'm Travis.
I'm Caitlin.
We're Fool and Scholar Productions.
We are. Who are you in that?
Oh, I'm the fool, in case you guys are wondering. It's actually an inside joke between us.
Most people know by now, I think.
I don't think so. I would suspect like people are like, oh, yeah, you're the fool. Well, why? Why? Are you foolish? Are you foolhardy?
Does that make me the scholar?
It does.
And what does it make Izo?
Izo's the ampersand.
I know. Because he holds us together.
He's the ampersand. But we met playing a game of werewolf, and I was the fool when we were playing, and that's why I'm the fool. It's not because of...
In some decks, it's called, like, the village idiot, but in the deck we were using, it was the fool.
And we have a new logo, by the way. It's been 6 years we've been doing this podcasting thing, and...
We haven't had a logo, though, for 6 years. We've had that logo for probably two, and then it got a shiny new update.
So we're jumping into this really quick. So first of all, Caitlin, who are you in Fool and Scholar Production, besides being the scholar, and why are you the scholar?
I am Caitlin. I am Caitlin Statz. I am the writer and the creator and the marketing and the designing and the media and the tea maker sometimes. Travis makes tea too.
I'm usually the resident tea maker.
But I do my half of what makes everything we do possible, and Travis is the other magical half of Fool and Scholar Productions.
Is this the first time we're doing an interview in person?
Like you and me in a room together?
And actually like talking to each other.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, we can't say a room, it's a closet.
We're sitting on the floor.
We are sitting on a floor in a closet surrounded by clothes that are dampening the sound of the room, so yeah. We sound actually pretty good, I think.
You think so?
I think we do.
You gotta have to check the sound?
I checked the sound before, during the sound check part.
Okay.
But, yeah, so we're a little bit quieter than normal, because we're actually, like, a few feet from each other, and Izo's, in fact, sitting a few feet from us.
Yep, laying down.
Laying
Lucky
down.
Lucky him.
in this summer day in 2021, and we are here to celebrate being creatives for 6 years.
6 years of podcasting. We've been creatives for much longer than 6 years, but we've been podcasting for 6 years.
We've been friends for 8 years, I think.
I'm 29.
Okay.
We met when I was 20.
Yeah, it's almost 9 years.
So, yeah.
That's a long time. But yeah, so we've been doing this for quite a bit, and we started creating podcasts in Oxford when you were going to school, which is why you're the scholar, because you have a master's degree.
And you're wearing the Oxford University shirt right now.
Yes.
It's very faded.
It's a great shirt, though.
It's been through... It's got stitching in parts where I've had to fix holes. Because you just keep wearing it, which I love, because it's cute on you, but yeah.
Well, so we are, in fact, married, by the way. She's not just flirting with me. I wanted to clarify to people who are like, are you guys married? It's like, yes, we are.
We did an Instagram... television live event when we unboxed our Webby last month.
Sorry,
and
cool.
Some of the responses we got, like, are you guys a couple? And it's like, yeah. We thought everybody knew that.
We just want to clarify those so we're not like creepy coworkers or something.
I think we're creepy coworkers.
We do that too. That's different. So the other stuff to bring up, we've been doing this for 6 years. We started in Oxford. We moved to Florida. We podcasted there for a while I was having a career outside of podcasting.
We had to move back to Florida because Travis needed a job. And I was working independently on something else, but I was working from our home in Florida. I got to tell you guys, we didn't like living there.
Well, we like walking to places, and it requires a lot of driving. So yeah. I think that's
and
just the difference
in
lifestyle.
And I guess we don't really like living in Florida now. Because we're back.
Yay. We're somewhere. We're somewhere mysterious in the United States.
Yeah.
Living with family out of a closet. But yeah, we moved to Portland, Oregon for a while. We were there for a bit.
We were.
and then we became full-time podcasters there.
We
that was
did.
Pretty cool. And then we just moved to try and, now that we're free and aren't tied to any geographic location with what we do with remote recording and the magic of podcasting, we're trying to move somewhere, and we don't know exactly where that is. We've got ideas, so we're trying to get there.
Don't worry. It will not get in the way of all of the insane amount of work we have to do to make these shows for you guys. We enjoy it too much to let it fade. So we're just working from closets in the homes of our families, and it's
and on airplanes and
yeah,
all the things we've been
honestly
traveling.
You know that cliche about podcasters who like live in the basements of their parents and and work out yep. of closets and you know just yeah we
that's us.
We kind of hit that cliche when we sold our home and packed everything we had into a van and drove across the country.
It was a nice drive though.
But we have the ability to work from anywhere now, so we are trying our hardest to do what, Travis?
We're trying our hardest to make great content and stories, and also to find a place we'd like to live eventually. But we've got a couple of goals there.
But where are we going?
Oh, we're going to Europe.
Going to Europe.
Yeah, Europe's going to be awesome.
As Travis said, when we first started podcasting, we were living in England, and then we had to move back to America. But now that we do this full time and we can work from home instead of having to work from an office, we really want to move back to Europe, and it's hopefully going to happen. COVID obviously made it take a lot longer than we would have liked, but we're excited, I think.
Yeah, we are. We're going to visit fairly soon and sort of scout out certain areas and see if we like them and say like, okay, this is a terrible idea. Or, oh, this is a really great idea. And this is maybe where you should rent or something for a while. So we'll see how the adventure takes us.
6 years of podcasting reflection. What in these last 6 years have we done wrong? How can we help others learn from our mistakes?
We did a couple of things. I think the easiest example of that would be like following Liberty. Liberty started, we felt like to be successful, you had to be in a network. So we joined a network. There are people who are friends of ours still, and they were friends of ours at the time. But it wasn't necessarily the best fit for us. There was a lot of nonfiction content, and we were one of the few fiction shows in the network. I guess we outgrew a lot of the content there pretty quickly, and we felt like we were not really helping them, and they weren't really helping us in the same way. So that wasn't a huge fit for us. So in a lot of ways, we did learn a lot, but also I think the resources are out there now in places like the Audio Drama Hub and in other, a lot of fiction podcasters are very open source with things.
Yeah, we thought, because again, we had not podcasted before at the time, Liberty was our very first show, that you kind of needed a network to be a podcast. And we know now that that's not true. You might hear Izo in the background making little
grumbly,
growly, borky noises. He's just being silly. But now we know that that's not true. But at that time, we had no idea. We also didn't know a lot about what we were doing because we were trying our best to be the creative side of podcasters, and we still hadn't learned a lot of the business side. And now we do know. Izo, come on.
And now we do have a bit of a better understanding of that side, I think. Yeah. I'd like to think.
Oh, gosh, for sure. We're
still learning.
We spend so much of our time every day working on the business side of podcasting.
Analyzing
what
we're doing.
Believe me, I would love to be spending that time just doing the creative stuff and writing and making new stories. I can't.
Well, let's keep the theme though. So another
okay, on
so
the theme.
With Liberty, we also started off on SoundCloud, and that was a big mistake for us.
Yes.
They don't allow you to migrate very easily. So we basically lost all of our listeners.
And data
and demographics, and migrating was a huge pain. So I think we lost something like 15,000 subscribers or something, maybe half of which were bots.
Yeah, and they didn't have a good version of differentiating between the real and the, like you said, the bots, the fake accounts. So even when we had their version of data, it was entirely skewed, and we just couldn't get a really good handle or a good footing on what it is that we were really reaching or who it is that we were really reaching. That was still like what, year one of podcasting?
Yeah, that was...
Fledgling mistakes.
And we were severely helped by also the No Sleep podcast, who gave us a shout out on their show, but they were also, they joined their voices on our show. David was on, Peter
yes.
was on.
Yes.
Nicole Doolin joined us too, and a few other regulars, John Grills.
Creepy. We still get to work with some of these amazing people. Amazing. All these years later, they still want to hang out with us, at least digitally.
I still get confused. I get messages from David Ault. I'm like, it's David Ault. He's on our show. But yeah, that was pretty amazing. And we also had, we still go through kind of some of the same issues. Like recently, Spotify, we had still had two feeds of Liberty where we had to like basically knock off 4,500 people. Because there was a second feed of Liberty that wasn't populating correctly, and we're like, how did this even start?
Internet problems.
Yes, I think the big reason we're having this talk is because there's a perception that, we've won a Webby. That's amazing. We've worked with Jeff Goldblum. That's amazing. So now it's like, okay, roll end credits, play the victory music. You guys
There's
made
no
it.
There's no victory music. Dude, this is not an end credit scenario.
That's kind of what I'm getting at with this. Like, and the purpose of our talk is like we're not at victory because victory is an ever moving target and it's ever evolving and changing. And this is actually more like a new chapter of what we're doing. I see this as like this year has been a new chapter for us from previous
ones. It's that idea of like it's not the journey, it's the destination. Like it's always the journey. There is no destination. You just keep going. And the journey changes and grows.
Yeah, like our original goal was to have more listeners than we had
actors in our show,
which was mostly you and me.
Yeah. And my gosh. Yeah. Going back and listening to episode one of Critical Research,
it's embarrassing. It's
mostly Travis and I pitch correcting our voices up and down, and some of our amazing friends.
Yes, that's always true. I would say that our podcasting. Friends have been real friends, and
absolutely,
that's been really something I wasn't expecting from our experience. Was to make a bunch of friends in the process, in the internet, in random parts of the world.
You can't go anywhere without making friends.
But these are like really nice friend man. But they're nice people. It's a difference. I make friends, but these have been really genuinely nice people, and I'm really happy about that. But keeping with a negative theme, if you're looking for negatives, another interesting misstep that we made, which I was thinking about quite a bit, still figuring out and fixing pieces of, actually, because there's a lot to disentangle yourself. We worked with a group called Himalaya for a while.
We did.
A podcasting app company, which is now not so much an app anymore, but we thought that that might be another way to... help us see growth and other opportunities. And it was sort of the same thing as with the network. Like, it wasn't really a necessary step for us. It wasn't really a particularly great fit for us, I don't feel.
No, not in the end. Like, but when we were working with them, we gave them feedback on certain things, and they were able to help us in one or two ways. But in the end, the relationship just ended up being very much like a null.
Yeah, I was really hopeful the app was going to be amazing. It continued to work, put the effort into it. And some of the people that were on the team were really fantastic. And I wish they were able to...
We still work with some of them, but they work at a different app now?
Different companies, yeah.
Different company, yeah.
certain people are now with Patreon, who we love. And there are other people who are... I still work with on voice acting, actually. A couple of them are voice actors in our shows that we sneak in. But... so that's been an interesting development. We keep looking at all these different things we're doing and trying to get better, and we take risks, and sometimes those risks aren't always to our advantage, but I don't think any of them have actually exploded in our face too terribly. Like, beyond, we cast someone as an actor, and then, like, it turned out, oh my gosh, they're a really horrible person.
We cut them.
All audio of theirs from the show, and then we recast the role and re-recorded it. Like, we've done that twice. For different reasons.
Even when something terrible happens, because it usually happens to somebody we're working with or to us instead of because of us, we try really hard to find a way around it. Like, we had to delay releasing an episode because of the Chile...
The protests.
Protests. Thank you. I was like, I know this word.
3 or 5 million people in the streets protesting actively.
Yeah. So when one of our actresses said, I'm sorry, I can't record, I can't get to the recording studio because of the protests, we decided that's absolutely okay. Stay safe. We'll just delay the episode because it's more important to us that we get to work with these amazing people than saying, oh, how dare you want to be safe? Like, it doesn't make any sense. That was really not something blowing up in our face, though. That's more like whenever we get these weird things that happen, we have to deal with it. We have to find a way around it.
We become so interconnected with the world in a lot of ways, unexpectedly.
Absolutely.
The remote recording thing, too. Like, you don't think, like, oh, yeah, I'm suddenly going to care about current events in all parts of the world. But, you know, the explosion in Beirut, like, that hurt our friends. His windows in his house were, like, taken out by that explosion. And he had to get his family to safety. And he's one of our main actors in The White Vault. So that delayed us a bit on the production side, but it was an important thing that had to happen. And we were able to help him out a little bit by giving him some paying work as an actor.
These are not the kinds of mistakes. It's not even a mistake. It's not the kind of event that you're saying, oh yeah, this is definitely going to affect me working in my closet here in America. Like, but then we just have these...
Or in
these,
Europe.
Yeah, or in Europe when we finally get to move. Yeah. But now we understand that it really does, because we have people all over the world. But it's not so much a mistake as it is a circumstance that we can try to overcome in the best way possible and keep our productions on the right path.
Keep us on track.
Yeah.
I think our biggest delays now, it's like we want to take a weekend.
Yeah, I would love to take a weekend.
It's been...
I'll be working this weekend for Sam. Sure.
I've gotten one weekend maybe one day every other weekend, kind of is my new norm now, close to it. But we're getting closer to, like, a normal life.
You
closer,
say that. Closer. You say that. I think it's such a lie.
I don't feel like we're lying, but maybe we're lying to ourselves. But we're trying to grow and expand and do things better. And it's a process, and it's a learning process the entire time, even though we have data and we have... analysis. We look at the data. We think about the data. We talk about the data on dog walks and such.
Izo's doing great.
Izo is doing very well. He had allergies, and then we moved, and then we got him some medications, and now he's feeling really great.
Izo does not care where we are as long as we are together. He would have been totally fine with us living out of that van forever.
He would have, actually. By, like, the third day, he got used
he was
to it.
When we were moving... and we packed everything up and we got into this van that we had rented.
It's a 7-day drive.
He absolutely wanted to be in that car. He knew we were going to get in that car and drive away. So when he jumped in there and we were like, oh, let's get one more family photo here at our old house, he did not get out of the car. He was like, no, if I get out of this car, you're going to leave me. Believe me, we never would have left him. But he was so adamant.
It's adorable.
Like, I shall not get out of this car. And... yeah.
It's like when we got him a new bed. He's like, I will not leave this bed. This is my bed. You gave this to me. But yeah, so that's some interesting stuff we've gone through. Let's get back to some of the building stuff, though.
Okay.
Basically, you've kind of future-proofed and built our worlds into larger things than I think either of us expected in a lot of ways.
What do you mean?
Like, you future-proofed them. Like, with the White Vault, you had a very clear vision of what you were doing.
Absolutely.
You built it with room for growth, but you had it at a point where we basically knew where the story was going to go from the get-go. I think even before our live show, in like a few months after we released the first episodes, you and I had already chatted about, I feel like you always start a world that's overdeveloped in a good way. Like, we know a lot of different... now Mako's walking in. What is this? This is the other dog who's
with
us.
Dogs go, humans are on the floor. Why are the humans on the floor?
Okay, Mako, you're small. You can fit here, but just barely. I wish I could video this. This is like... Continuing on our ideas, though.
Thank you for saying that I build good stories.
No, but I feel like you build the world itself in a way where... you have a clear vision of what it's supposed to look like and feel like. So if there are questions, you have clear answers as the creator. When I ask, like, oh, what's this ship, this Bifrost ship? And you just, you give me an infographic that winds up becoming like a thing. It's like, wow, this is so detailed. I can give this to the fans. And then I do.
Not only are they written down, but they have pictures.
And the pictures work pretty well. No, but you spend a lot of time building. Yes. And I think that's very fun and impressive. And it's something that I've appreciated in the worlds that you've created or you know, built up over time that we've gotten really play in. So each one of our four main brands at the time, at the time of recording, the White Vault, Liberty, Vast, and Dark Dice. Like they're well, Dark Dice isn't, that's a separate story for Dark Dice, but they're basically really well developed. And I think, I feel very confident in my understanding of them and such as an auditory space and even as almost a visual one, even though I can't visualize things.
We are incredibly lucky because we are so close as people. Like you and I, we're best friends and we're married and we play nerdy video games together and we do like hikes and like we have the same consumption of like television and movies and games. And again, the dogs are being so freaking cute.
Yeah, rolling on his back with his belly in the air, being adorable.
But because we have that, we have this like very similar mindset where we're so lucky we get to create together, because I can build something in my mind and hand you a script and you have, even 6 years ago, you had such a good understanding of what it is that I was trying to get across, and now it's only better. And now it's only like a stronger understanding of our stories, because I could write it, but nobody's going to care unless you make it amazing, and you always do.
And I guess I would just like to express an appreciation for how you do things in public or semi-public, I guess, podcast space. But in reading how other people or seeing how other people write scripts, the way that you and I communicate is really fun. And I, not to take away from how other people do things, I just have an appreciation for what you build and your methodology of building the vehicle, as opposed to, you know, kind of building it as we're going along.
I go back and I see old scripts a bunch when I'm going back to make references to previous episodes, and my style has developed so much because the more that I created for you, the more that I was able to create my scripts in a way that could be most easily translated into audio. Like I started building it so that it was easier for our actors and easier for you.
I feel like this is a great segue into technology too.
Oh yeah, we can.
What do you use to write all of your scripts, Caitlin?
Oh, I use Microsoft Word.
Caitlin Stats.
Nothing is the fancy writer here. I use Microsoft Word.
Microsoft Word, okay.
Nothing fancy.
And that allows us, I think the subscription was like a couple bucks.
We got the yearly subscription.
For both computers.
And we got it for, we got like the family pack.
Oh, and your dad's.
Yeah, we got the family pack. Because like it's you, it's me, and it's my father. Because my dad is the editor for all of my scripts. And he's a consultant, and sometimes he's a voice actor.
WK Stats, he's top secret. No, we don't talk about who he is. But he's super knowledgeable, and he's also got a lot of, besides being your father, he actually has all the qualifications you would want in somebody.
So, yeah, we have, I just use Microsoft Word.
Which makes it easy to give the actors as well.
It really does. Like, if I need to export it as a PDF because they don't have Microsoft Word, I can do that. Sometimes they can take them and translate them into the Pages app for a Mac. I use a Mac, a really old Mac, but
we need to get it changed out because you're no longer able to even update your OS because you're out of space.
I don't have space.
We've been saying, how long have you had that computer?
Since before graduate school.
So to clarify, like this computer is older than our relationship. The weirdness of this is like we really need to upgrade your upgrade. These things need to happen eventually, but we're still trying to like figure out timing stuff with like Patreon, because we just switched to like monthly, and that's a really big deal for us. We were afraid that people would like leave by the droves when we started doing that, because we were originally by creation, which was very stressful because you have to, you know, release your episode or not get food and not be able to pay your actors and such. Yeah, so technology, so your computer needs to get upgraded. We'll do that at some point.
Yay.
Once we're sure what our income is.
Unlike Travis, how many computers have you had over the last few years, Travis?
Well, when we met, I had a computer that was nice. It had a no sleep sticker on it, but I accidentally stabbed it. And then it fell down a flight of stairs. And then the hard drive, the backup hard drive, also fell down into a rainy ditch, which was unfortunate. And then I had a second computer.
I have watched this man drop a phone into an ocean.
Two oceans.
I have
same
watched
phone.
This man physically destroy computers.
It was an accident. I was trying to do Foley. I was learning how to mic it properly. It was too close, and I didn't have the gain high enough. And then I got a second computer. That one was good for a few years. And then I just got a new computer this year, I think. Was it this?
No. When we were in Portland, you got two computers.
So I'm on four computers. And I donated the others to the Portland computer group thing where you can give computers to people who apparently want to edit audio.
Please stop breaking computers.
This one's a keeper. It's pretty reliable. Like
but it gets so overheated that he puts it on a cookie grate.
This is true.
So that the bottom can vent.
Well, I also demand a lot of my computers. I'm running 100 and plus tracks simultaneously over the course of an entire season. I'm using Mixcraft, which is like one of the cheaper digital audio workspaces out there, the editing software.
We've been using affordable options.
Even though we're not, like, we're pro-level using affordable options. Caitlin is literally holding a microphone in her hand with a pop filter that is not attached by anything. Just,
It sits in the ring.
I wedged it into a ring.
You just wedge it in there. It just sits in the ring. It's fine.
And I'm on a really good mic that is on a $10 microphone stand called a OnStage.
That microphone stand falls over something. All the time.
It's not weighted properly.
It falls over all the time.
So on a Focusrite 2i2, we didn't even get like the 4i2 or the 8i2 or any of those fancier ones. Just because we're very much on the frugal with this stuff.
What's the super fanciest thing that we use?
Probably the microphone I'm talking into right now. It's like an $800 microphone or a $700 microphone that I got on sale for $400. That's probably
the
most expensive.
I didn't get a new computer. But again, it's just proof. Like, we chose something because we loved it. We didn't think we had to overinvest in it. We really just think that the things that sell our show, and by sell, I mean just get people interested in our show, is our story and the amount of work we put in and the amazing actors that we work with. You don't need thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of equipment.
I'm realizing that you made fun of my headset, and it's literally falling apart.
Your headset has been to the repair shop multiple times.
And I got it for free.
And it's still missing parts.
But the point is, we're not using expensive equipment. It's very affordable, and I think that's a good thing.
In podcasting in general, like, the reason we got into it is because it's an accessible medium. You don't have to have like an amazing big camera to make a movie, or you don't have to have that amazing kind of camera to make a, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. To clarify, it's comparatively accessible to the mediums that we've worked in and other mediums that we've looked at for storytelling, like film, like television. We're
video
not
games.
In those video games, comic books. Compared to all their methods of storytelling, besides maybe writing a book, it's accessible, but also it's very daunting because writing a book, here's a blank page, go.
Oh, you think that's daunting?
You
think that's daunting to stare at a computer and just have the world's worst writer's block?
The accessibility is there, but it's also a lot of work. So I don't want to undercut the work that you put in.
Too. Like, I couldn't imagine trying to write a novel with someone. If you do that, that's probably amazing. But like, we wanted something we could build together.
Yeah.
Podcasting was what we could find, and 6 years later, this is our livelihoods, and I get to tell stories for a living.
We get really nice notes too on the stories that we tell. We've helped some people through some tough times with some educational escapism, generally educational escapism, I would say,
or entertaining escapism.
Yeah, both are good. But the point of this is, I don't think you have to spend a lot of money. I think, sure, SM58s are a very decent microphone, and they're not at a pawn shop. They're very cheap. Yeah. They're in the double digits.
But 6 years in, I think we can still say that it's not how much money you have to throw at it.
We literally are competing with AAA studios that from like Hollywood.
No, I went to a studio in LA and I went to a studio in London. I was like, I went to a closet at my mother-in-law's.
and arguably sometimes the closet will get better audio. Even we actually had to work with some higher studios recently for projects, a SAG project that we put together.
Yeah.
And that was an experience in itself. But yeah, it's it. Never underestimate the power of ingenuity or creativity.
Or a duvet.
Or a duvet. Yes, under a blanket. Recording under a blanket is one of our number one tricks for people recording for the White Vault.
Yes.
Under a blanket, where it's scary. Which always sounds like so strange when you're talking to people. Like, hello, are you under the blanket? Yes, I'm under the blanket. Okay, now I have to eat cookies. I'm eating cookies under a blanket. This is my childhood dream. And I'm... That was our Vast Horizon experience recently. Other tools we use. What other tools are we up to these days?
I don't really have that many tools.
You research a lot. Is that anything special?
Yeah, I just research. Like
Google?
JSTOR.
And JSTOR.
Scientific journals and publications. I just do research.
That's true. And in terms of our actual crew internally, we work with a lot of actors. They're
yes.
wonderful, fantastic human beings, divine human beings, one might say, for their amazing and endless patience in working with me.
Putting up with my writing.
And the retakes and the strange words that you put in and the tongue twisters and the heliosheath, heliopause stuff, technical jargon.
Speleothems.
Speleothems. We also work with a few crew members, and it's important to recognize. We've always worked with Brandon, our mixing engineer, who I have a partial deafness in one ear, so I could not mix the episodes. I also don't have the skill, but if I had the skill, I still couldn't do it because I lack the ability to hear things. And the reason our stuff does not sound terrible when you put it in your car versus on your phone, it sounds the same, in fact, or very similar, is because we have a mastering process and a mixing process, and it's a very important part of the process that we go through. And we also work with some dialogue editors, people who are helping us out to cut the initial dialogue. Marissa Ewing, we've been working with for, is it a year, a couple of years? I'm not even sure anymore. They sort of blend together.
I think it's like a year.
I think it's about a year. Marissa's been working with us.
Off and on, yeah.
And Dane Leonardson is now working with us in the White Vault Avram, which is very exciting, and other things. Dane has been really fantastic. We worked with him on Critical Research Season 2 initially, and then he had a family and went off to do that for a while and is now excited to be working on audio again now that he's being a father and working in audio. So it's I'm very grateful for all those people. And also Steven. We work with Steven a lot on music mm-hmm. all the time. And Brandon Boone, that duo, they crank out so much music for us. I know Brandon is also creating like 3 hours of music for the No Sleep podcast every week, but... and Steven's working on video game soundtracks and motion pictures. But
and we work with Jeff on our websites.
Jeff Clement, yes, because yeah. we don't build our own websites.
We can't have every talent, dear.
We can't. you do sound very nice. We like had a presentation, like a PowerPoint, like in this page should sort of look like.
I can
like...
say I would like it to look like this, and I'd like it to look like this, but I don't know how to make it do the things it needs to do.
Yeah, and these are all important people to acknowledge and things to think through as we kind of go through and look at like, okay, who are we working with? Who are we talking with? Those are important people in our lives
yeah.
and all of our friends. So, yeah. Is there anyone else you can think of that we're working with? WK Stats, of course. We've already mentioned him before.
I mean, we just work with so many amazing voice actors all over the world.
Translators. Sophie Yang translates Mandarin all the time. And
people putting up with me deciding to write in a language that I cannot write and then having to ask me a bunch of questions about, okay, how many people are they referring to? And is this more polite or is this more informal? And I'm like, okay, let's just dive on into this and make this possible.
What degree of rudeness do you want this curse word to be? Is the one that comes up rather frequently for Graham Kasner in Russian. And then in addition to translators, we also sometimes work with consultants on the creative side, like yeah. Anton Mir on Avram or a Talk to Studies group for the...
Language consultancy, yeah. History. Consultancy, making sure that the stuff we're trying to put out there fits the reality enough that when the fictional aspects come in, they feel all the more real. And we accomplish that by trying our best and working with amazing people to make it feel that way and to make it as real as possible.
Also, our community moderators, Amy and Freya, who keep our Facebook group and Discord community in line, respectively.
I could not do that.
No, they're fantastic people, fantastic human beings, and we are extremely grateful for them. So I think when we think of like, oh, it's just us doing like the core creative stuff, yeah, but there's also people we work with who are very invaluable to making the process seamless, who've joined the team over time and who've helped us free up our time to spend more time on the creative stuff. So that's kind of cool. Lastly, she also mentioned that we work with ICM. They are our talent representation, and
I can't believe we are at the point where we have talent representation.
Yeah, I know, right?
Does that mean I get to call myself a talent? Am I a talent?
I think you can. I think that's
can
kosher.
I? That sounds really weird, though.
It is, but it's. I think that's a thing we can do, and they've been really cool and possibly making things happen in the future. We'll see.
But let's go back, because some of the people that are listening are probably other creators wanting to see what we've learned over 6 years and hoping to glean some information that could help them in the future. So over 6 years, how has the idea of podcast monetization changed for you?
Oh, it's changed drastically. Originally, I thought it was like, oh, ad sales, that's where the real money's made. And yes, if you're true crime, that's true. Or yes, if you're comedy, that's true. There are certain shows.
I'd like to start with, at the very beginning, we had no intention of any monetization.
Yeah, actually, we were staunchly against it.
And we were actually like, oh man, it costs money to do this? Well, I guess other people sink money into their hobbies, so why can't we? And yeah, then we slowly started to... I think we started with Patreon.
Yep, that was it. And we're like, oh, this is cute. Maybe this will pay for our hosting fees.
Yeah, it'll pay for our RSS hosting fees. And
can we make the $28 a month? I don't know. We'll find out.
Just remembering like what the Patreon page looked like back then.
A bit embarrassing.
It was just Liberty.
Yes.
Yeah. Things have changed.
things have changed, and we actually have
for the
like,
better.
We've got content on there. We've got really cool stories. We've got a lot of music too.
And we didn't start really advertising until
a year in. 1 year of creation, we started like season two of Critical Research. I think is when we sort of started mentioning it. I had to edit them recently, so I heard us mention we had a Patreon somewhere.
Well, that was less advertising and more. Because it wasn't like dynamic ads at that point.
Oh, sorry, advertising for like ad revenue. Yeah, we did a few of those. That would be around Vigilance. After White Vault Season 1, we started to do advertising in the form of things like O'Dowd's Apothecary and Klipsch. And
yes, I remember that. But that wasn't us getting paid. That was like Klipsch sent you some headsets.
Yes, which I'm looking at right now and I would be using if I was monitoring this. But we have that. We also have, what are the other strange oddities? We got the microphones, the Rode microphones for our cast around the world for the White Vault, so they wouldn't be recording on Blue Yetis. Advertising is a weird game. To clarify, in the sponsorship side, like it's called CPM. So it is cost per mil, mil being the word thousand in Latin, I think. So it's how many dollars per thousand downloads you get or streams. And it's basically if someone listens to 1 second of your content, it's considered a download, I believe, as of the most latest metrics. And you have to be like IAB, whatever, certified. I think we're at 2.0 or 3.0 at this point, or 4.0 anyway. But it's based on who hosts you and having accurate reporting data. And on average, you're probably getting somewhere between $7 and $20 for 1,000 listeners, realistically. And it takes a lot of time to get a sponsor, so you need to weigh, like, is
that
my time...
That itself is its own job.
Yes, but, you know, trying to seek out sponsors and talk to 100 people to get one sponsor for $7 times 1,000 downloads, you made $7.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I wasted a lot of time. I don't think I made quite a break even here. And you can certainly get sponsors earlier and charge more. I think the highest people see is 50, which is great if they can get that. But that's kind of what the game is on advertising. And we've recently gotten to dynamic advertising in the last few months. We've moved over to Acast, which is a hosting platform that offers it, one of a few. And it's been pretty okay, but it hasn't really helped us in the greatest of senses in terms of monetization. It's more, it offers some benefit to our back catalog, which has been cool because we have a lot of stories that we put out over 6 years. Every 2 weeks, we put out a new episode, but it's not really any supplement at all for if we could not continue on just that, nor could we pay our actors on just that. But it does pay for some of our actors.
Yeah, I mean, it's still really new for us. Honestly, the only reason we can do this full time is because we do get paid.
From Patreon.
But we get paid through our Patreon. And for, honestly, most of my podcasting career... Oh, it's a career. I have a career.
Yeah, it's multiple years.
Yeah. For the majority of my podcasting career, I was not making minimum wage.
Same.
And, well, you weren't even working full time for the most of it.
I wasn't getting paid at all.
Because you, yeah, because you had another job that was generally supporting us.
I put in full time hours on both.
I know. Because I am not only your friend and your work partner, I'm your wife. And I want to go, like, do fun things. And go on nice long dog walks and just like have a life outside of work. And that was not possible. It was honestly kind of sad because we were just like, okay, if we want to make this a possibility for our life, we have to dedicate a lot of time to it. And we had that very lucky opportunity where Travis's other job afforded us
time.
For me to work on creating stories and just building our podcasting possibilities.
And that was that time that we invested as well was integral and very important to where we are now, because we've grown because of time and putting out quality stuff over time and advertising the heck out of it and marketing it and doing all those things that Caitlin does in a magical way.
You really don't get into podcasting thinking you're going to make money.
No, and I don't think...
You know, it's not a safe assumption for anybody, and we didn't assume it. We were just like, yeah, let's write stories and hang out together and not have to program a video game.
I feel like our big success story is, and continuing success story in big air quotes that people can't see, is our ability to overcome those like months and years where... And Caitlin looked at me and said, like, I am making the equivalent of minimum wage in Bangladesh. Or she would actually a different chart of countries every week, and she would change the country.
Yeah.
But getting to Bangladesh took more than a year.
Yeah.
More than multiple years, I think.
Just a young couple being very stupid, not earning enough money, and deciding, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start podcasting and buy a puppy. But well, oh, I don't want to say buy
shop.
A puppy. Yeah, we adopted Izo from a rescue in Florida.
We actually showed up a day early.
We did.
And it was like an hour drive to get there each way, an hour there and back. And
the adoption event, they already knew we were coming. We had sent in the paperwork for adopting him. They had checked that we like had a good home for him and that we could take care of him.
Oh, by the way, the event's tomorrow.
We were so excited. We drove up on a Saturday, got there, and were so confused that it wasn't happening because the event was on Sunday. We were just so excited to get Izo. We drove up on the wrong day, so we drove all the way home just to do it the next day. And we've got Izo, and he was amazing and cute and small, and we bought him a bunch of stuff so that he could get home and he would feel comfortable and loved. And on the drive home, he vomited on Travis.
All over me. It was adorable.
It was wonderful.
He never left us since.
Never left us.
Tangent. This is a tangent. Sorry.
It's a tangent about my dog.
I love this dog. Our dog is amazing. Anyway, other things though, like I guess there's the illusion that you're making a lot of money on Patreon, and every time you grow, though, you're increasing your expenses, and Patreon takes a cut, but also you're paying for more things, because if you have income, there are things that you were just paying out of pocket or things that people were doing for free that should be compensated.
Or the fact that you're just creating more to sustain a business means that there's expenses for creating, hosting, and maintaining all of those shows.
Yes, and those are things that can't be discounted, so as you see an increase in total money, there's an increase in total expenses that is oftentimes comparable, if not greater than what you're seeing. So it can be deceptive as you get to like the really painful growth spurts. It was a big surprise for us, and we had to come to grips with being extremely frugal in spending anything, and then suddenly having to be even more frugal, and then have to also decide this is an investment in our future that we have to make, and we will not make more than minimum wage yet. We will make minimum wage. We have to invest in this first, or this person first.
Yeah.
And that was a very tough experience for us. We got through it, and we're at a place where we're okay, but we're not like amazing. So we're trying to get there.
I'm happy with okay
like, too.
I have Izo, and Izo has dog food, and We're living at our family's house. So we are incredibly lucky. We have the circumstances that allow us to do this. Not everybody could just get up and go. And we sold our cars.
Yeah, this is true.
We don't own anything that requires insurance, except your life and my life.
Yeah, that's basically it. And our dog has insurance.
He has pet insurance.
Because it's important.
Because he's always been such a sickie.
He has been. He's a happy sickie. But those are things that like really need to be under consideration for a lot of people that maybe you would not expect. You're thinking of like glamour and such. So I just would always forewarn of those sorts of things, because a lot of people say that we're an example of what people can become, and I don't think we've quite become it yet. We're in the process of still metamorphosizing into the butterfly that could be, that we're working toward.
I mean, if they're saying it in a way where it's like, wow, I really love the stories that they create and the productions that they make, I wish I could do that, you totally can.
Oh yeah, that part's
doable. Write it,
that's
produce
doable.
It, make your amazing stories.
Like as a hobby, that makes a lot of sense.
And if you're thinking like we are doing so well that we must have a great studio space and stuff, don't worry, you can be like us. Record in your closet.
These are truths. But I think the coolest part for me is when we're actually able to, and at this point we are, when we were able to pay our cast decent wages, and like, we got a photograph from a guy in Russia who said, it's been amazing to work with you. This meal was paid for by you guys. I made more money working with you guys in a day than I would have made in a week working like my job that I was fired from during COVID. Thank you for allowing me to eat and for making that happen. So
we didn't think we'd have to think about like what circumstances across the world can impact our work now. And we didn't think we would be making such a big impact in other people's lives.
Yes. And not just that person's life, but we've done that with a couple of people have sent us some really nice notes, and we've helped spark a few careers for voice actors who are now working on, I don't want to say bigger and better things, but they're working on larger paying projects. I should say that's an appropriate,
We help people find their way. Like they'd never been on anything before. And when we showed them, here's how you can do this, they took it and they ran with it and they made it to such a huge part of their lives. And that's awesome for them.
And some have won awards too that they didn't expect at all. I know Dan still is in denial. I was like, no, I did not win an award. I was like, we tell him he's an award-winning actor, and he's just like, no, I'm not. It's not real. There are phases of evolution as you grow, and it feels like you're going through different stages in Tetris or Mario or a video game, and the rules change. Or Baba Is You is actually probably the best example, because the rules completely change every time you get to a new level.
Calvin Ball,
yeah. And some things stay the same, but everything also is different. Yeah. And that's a reality that we've experienced. Another thing that I was hoping to discuss with you, some of the hidden work that we do, because it's a
hidden
topic of this, cleaning up our RSSs, plural RSS, which are the feeds that we have that have like, some of them had advertisements from years ago that we were like, oh, we should probably turn this off. Or things like that, or
hidden work being like spending time updating the logo, or is that hidden work?
Oh yeah, updating our logos. Okay. Podbean repeatedly having issues with multiple episodes of ours, despite no other app
having
those issues.
Having to reach out to Apple because Apple did an update that then like messed up so many podcasts, and then having to
having all of our episodes not be on Apple for a while, for like days at a time. Getting Acast to show our credits because they truncate after 200 characters or 2,000 characters. And like actors are like, oh, by the way, you realize you're not crediting us. I'm like, no, I am. I put it all in. It's pulling up on all podcasting apps. They're going to fix the issue. And it'll probably be updated by the time you hear this episode.
All the little background work where you wake up in the morning and you're like, all right, you know what I'm going to do today?
It's going to be a great day.
I'm going to work out. I'm going to make myself a cup of tea. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to write. And then you sit down at the computer and you get like a ton of emails and notifications, and you have to spend like an hour and a half checking in with people on social media, posting advertisements, building new advertisements.
Marissa suddenly emails me, by the way, the audio file from this actor is completely blank of audio. The time's there. There's just no audio. Like, no!
Did you know that you accidentally copy-pasted someone else's bio into somebody else's section on your website? now you have to fix that.
Surprise.
We're spending a lot of time designing the websites so that when we do major updates that they look better and they're more usable. Like
the Patreon RSS, which is like the thing that I covet above all other RSSs in terms of how orderly that thing is.
Transcripts.
Like, yeah, I forgot about those.
Prepared and ready and
without spoilers.
And yeah, just doing everything that's not the podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Not writing, not producing, not voice acting.
And most D&D podcasts don't have transcripts for a reason, because they take a lot of time.
Like, there is just so much that we try to do, especially because I guess, yes, we're podcasters, but we're more than that. We're a production company. It's you and me doing everything for a production company. So when somebody, let's take the week of the Jeff Goldblum announcement.
Oh my gosh, that was so fun, but also so like a lot of work.
Yes. So we had phone calls.
Before it happened, we got like a heads up, like, this article's going to go out. Oh, cool. Okay, awesome. Like, this is going to be an article. It's going to go up. That's really great. Thank you for letting us know. Hope you have a great week. All right. And our expectation is like, we're going to have a nice week. Nothing's going to happen. No one
will
hear about
not this. Have this expectation. I knew it was going to be a hurricane. And Travis was like, oh, it'll be fine. It'll be wonderful. That's my Travis voice.
I sound like the guy from IT Crowd. And then suddenly we had no time because getting 40 plus notifications every 10 minutes.
Yep. They're like calling and sending messages to us. And they're like, can we talk to your PR department? I'm like, there is no PR department. There's me or Travis.
Polygon's like, could you get on the phone in the next 10 minutes? Like, sure, yes.
And then Travis would go into like a meeting for 2 hours and I would answering all of these emails and messages.
I got about 4 hours of sleep for the next 2 or 3 days just because I was nonstop replying to people and I didn't even get any work done. It was just replying. I wasn't even actively outgoing anything. It was just reply, reply, reply.
And doing interviews, doing meetings.
It was a lot of, I would say that was less time than I think we think of it as. It's just the fact that I wasn't there was pretty stressful, but there was a lot of...
But that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like, people see Fool and Scholar Productions and they think, oh, they must have an office somewhere and have employees.
And this is true.
It's just us.
They don't imagine us sending out every envelope for every patch that someone buys off of our website.
Oh my God, when we did our last patches, when we still lived in Portland and we did our last patch mail out, it was our entire weekend in our living room. And we had piles and it was like a little, what's it called? It's chain, assembly line.
Assembly line while watching Tremors.
It was an assembly line while watching bad movies. Actually, we watched this one Taiwanese movie. It was really funny, but because it had subtitles, we couldn't watch what we were doing. So we kept having to look up and down. So we ended up not watching any more subtitled movies that weekend because we had to be able to focus on the assembly line because we were like, okay, I'll write this.
That was the Haunted Bathhouse movie.
Yes. Okay. I'll write this. I'll put on the stickers. You put in the new stickers and the patches. And then depending on if whether or not it's international mail or U.S. based mail, it goes in one basket versus another basket. And it's just us.
Yeah.
So that whole weekend was just us prepping over like 1,000 envelopes.
I forgot about that. This is like a good reminiscing here. I'm also like half crying. The time we did it before was also really, it was fewer and it wasn't a whole weekend. It was just...
It was fewer then, yeah.
It was only like 400 instead of 1,400 or something.
Yeah.
What are some other weird stories like that where you've just been up super late doing things or getting things done? Can you think of, I'm trying to think of some besides editing. I'm
every time you've had a recording session that was with someone in like Australia or Taiwan or Hong Kong or Malaysia or like
Georgia, Israel,
like everything is all Korea. Over the place time wise. So Travis is setting alarms for like 2 a.m.
The entirety of the White Vault Avram was me waking up at night and recording from like 2 a.m. till 4 a.m.
Yep.
Or like, and then also like halfway through it, realizing that there was a problem with the mic and we had to record much later. And there were some language issues. We were recording at like half speed and it wound up being like 4 hours each session instead of 2. And then it's like 6 a.m. The sun has risen. There are birds chirping really loudly as I'm like trying to get into bed. No, go away, birds. Go away, sun.
Birds were here first.
Go away, sunlight. I don't want you. Oh, man. There's so many. And also, like, episode, you think it's done, you send it off to mixing, mixing sends it back, and you're like, oh no, I realize there's a mistake. And we like chat it over and we figure creative raids to get the episode up within the next 20 minutes before it's midnight so we can have it up on time. Those are those, and then realizing that I forgot to make the post, so I have to like double check the credits, triple check the credits, add the description, the little things you don't think about, and then links to transcripts. And
there's so much invisible work.
Yeah,
that's so much.
I think that's a really big thing. And trying to do the right thing is also laziness versus trying to do the right thing. Like we go very far out of our way to try and do the right thing. And then we still make mistakes sometimes, but we do improve. I think we have improved consistently. But finding ways to make things easy also, because if it's, even if you're doing the right thing, but it's not an easy thing for people to find sometimes, like our transcripts, it's like right in the, you're reading an episode, or you're reading the credits to an episode, like the description in iTunes, it's like, here, link to transcripts, click. Link to, oh, here's all the content warnings.
Okay, I'm just going to say this again. Even though our transcripts are hosted on Patreon, they are free to access. They are on a free public post. So if you need transcripts, they are available there for you.
Yes, and that's very important.
Need or want transcripts. Some people just like to read along.
Yeah. A lot of invisible work.
So this is just...
Hope it don't sound like we're venting.
That's just 6 years of experiences and fun problems and horrible problems and ways that our views on podcasting have changed.
Fun adventures. I say we've focused a lot on the negative. So what are your... And because it's also like people like gossip and usually in shows, that's been a fun...
Just gossip about ourselves.
Gossip about ourselves and our strange missteps. But what are some of the things that you've really enjoyed over the last... Because we do have fun.
I love working with you.
Same way.
Like,
that's be mine.
My job means I get to spend so much time creating with you. When we used to have different jobs, you used to have to drive really far every day to go to work.
That was my podcast listening time that I miss. But I also don't miss the other stuff.
But like just being in the car for that long, like in the morning you would leave and then I wouldn't see you till late at night, and then we would just eat and we would be so tired and we'd just go to bed. Like that was it. There wasn't enough time for anything else.
My soul was drained.
So just getting to work with you, like it's given me the opportunity to spend so much time with you, and just that's amazing. I work from home, you work from home, Ezo's at home. Like it's kind of that dream that people really want.
Before COVID.
Yeah, before COVID. Now everyone's like, let me out of my house. But it's affording us the opportunity, not like the monetary opportunity, but like the actual physical opportunity of being able to go wherever we want.
To live wherever we want. Yeah.
Like we don't enjoy living in Florida. And I really cannot wait to see where we end up. And the only reason that this is possible or even a possibility is because we work from home, and that's something that podcasting has afforded us.
That's very true.
I get to tell stories. I get to share ideas and stories and worlds that I never thought I was going to get to tell and share. And people really enjoy it, and they reach out to me with fan mail, and they make fan art, and it is amazing.
We personally reply to those as well. It's always funny.
I had somebody once who was reaching out to me, or reaching out to the account that we have on Tumblr, and I don't really know how to use Tumblr, but I was trying, and they were like, oh, it's so cool that you've made this fan account. I really enjoy this show. And I was like, this isn't a fan account. This is me. Hi, I'm the writer. And they were so floored, and they sent me like this fun message about how much they enjoyed the show. I get to create my stories. I get to share them with people, and they like them. Do you know how rare that is? I never thought that was going to be a thing for my life.
Let's see. I really enjoy... working with you, of course, that's like the best.
You sound way less enthused than I did.
No, I can't match your emotion. I don't know that I'm physically capable in vocal form, because you know I'm bad at emotions and stuff. But I think that was really well said, and I feel the same way. And It is so dang cool to bring your stories to life, because I love how you think and your way of thinking is. But I don't want this to be like a gush piece, because that's like personal stuff, whatever. But other things for me are...
Wait, so I have to gush and be all like emotional and silly sounding, but you won't tell me that you enjoy it? Come on. Be emotional.
People won't want to hear this, but I really do. I appreciate working with you. And I tell you that like almost every day, I think, except when I've made you mad at me for something I've definitely done. But yeah, I really do. I love the way you think, and the stories you craft are so dang fun. And I love bringing them to life and getting to interact with you and asking you questions like, does it sound enough like this person's being, you know, mortally killed in some way? Or should it sound with more blood, less blood, more of a thunk? Those are always fun moments. I really enjoy interacting with our actors and our cast. They are the bomb, and they put up with me, which is fantastic. And it is a very fun...
Put up with us.
Us. They put up with us. Yeah. Your scripts and the things that I constantly request of them, especially the breathing, is the worst for people. Got to breathe heavily for 30 seconds near your microphone and try not to make it sound awkward. Like, okay. This intensity as you're running from monsters or something. So they're always really fun to chat with and to just get to have these weird relationships with, where we never actually speak verbally to each other, but I get all their verbal audio. And I send them a lot of emails and messages and thanks and praise. So I feel like we're really great friends, but I haven't actually spoken with most of them. So that's awesome.
I remember, we just recently being months and months ago, had that interview with Siobhan and Tanya.
Yeah.
And I had known Siobhan's voice. Because obviously...
From Vast Horizon, yeah. The lead actress, and Miligra.
I had never thought like, oh yeah, of course... Siobhan and Tanya have met.
No. They've never even spoken.
And I usually like follow our actors and actresses on Instagram because I like to see what they're doing and keeping up with them. So like I had this idea of like, oh yeah, I feel like I know Siobhan because I see what she reads and what she's doing with her life and all the updates about her COVID and everything. And then I was talking with her and I was like, man, we actually haven't spoken,
yeah,
like as people.
That's a thing. It's such a thing, and that's always, it always throws me off, because sometimes we'll do like a Zoom, like very rarely I get to Zoom with an actor, and it's like, well, I'm talking to you and you're talking back. This is so special. This is a magical moment. But those are always really fun for me. A third thing I really enjoy about what I do is the sound design stuff. I love making sounds and making worlds, and whether it's on my own or more recently with Dane Leonardson, it's been a lot of fun because he's very talented and I love the work that he creates. And then I get to expand on it and then bounce back to him, and then he expands on it. So I guess just sound design in itself is an area I love being in. That's being gushy. Oh, yes, all the things.
We had a lot of negative. We can have some positive.
But I think in terms of what we do and the level of creative control we have with the things we create, it is incomparable to film or television,
incomparable
to film or television or comics or other mediums. And that's really cool. I appreciate that in a good way. I appreciate it in a good way because I can work with you, and that's what we've got.
Want to keep making podcasts?
I think we will. I think we should. And then I think we also... almost have to. It's an expectation now at this point. So
absolutely.
I think we've got so many stories within us. We got to finish the White Vault.
I got so many stories to tell.
I don't know all of them. I know a couple, but I don't know all. And you're very secretive sometimes. So I'm a bit of a blabbermouth, but
you are. I have to like have him double swear that he won't spill spoilers.
Spoilers.
Oi, oi, oi.
Yeah, we've got really weird things going on. We've got I also want to add a fourth one. I really love the engagement from our fans and the community. That's been something really unexpected for me because I've never experienced that in this capacity at all. And their love of the stories and the red string on the corkboard with the different conspiracies that Caitlin weaves has been very fun to watch unfold. So for all that stuff, we have a lot of stories though, like you were saying, and we have... this new thing we're going to talk about eventually, Don't Mind, which we'll eventually get into, and In the meantime, the White Vault has to wrap. We've got Vast Horizon we're wrapping this year. We've got Avram, which is our mini-series now available on Patreon that we're releasing every 2 weeks, which has been a lot of fun. Getting into some Jewish history, which is very near and dear to our history. I think we have a lot of fun adventures in our future once those stories conclude, because we have become so much better storytellers in what we do that we will that will continue.
So if you guys haven't checked out our Patreon page yet, please consider swinging over there and taking a look at, first of all, our silly video.
It was actually very fun to record.
It was. I got to climb around on some rocks.
I did too. I didn't get down. I got stuck. That's a blooper at the
end. Check out our silly video and take a look at all of the cool stuff that you get when you get to be, when you become a patron. And if you really enjoy our shows, we do have extra content available, and it really does make a huge difference every time that we get people signing up. Also, we cannot thank you guys enough and thank our patrons enough for making this all possible. Like, the only reason that we are able to make these at the pace that we make them and at the quality that we make them and with the amazing actors that we can now have is because people support us monetarily, and we can then buy equipment or make the subscriptions we need or pay the actors. And so every bit really counts. I made an ad a while ago, but I don't think I ever ended up posting it. And it was an ad for our Patreon, a visual ad from the White Vault brand. And it was like a little icicle and it was dripping, and it was like, Patreon, each drop counts. And I never got around to using it, I don't think, but I think about that one often, because we recently had another interview and we were explaining that by being funded by our fans, we cut out the middleman. Like, it's people who really enjoy our shows directly stating that they support what we're doing.
And it's very important to survival, yeah. But it's also really awesome.
Yeah, and that's what led to like our amazing community of people on Discord who talk about our shows and have movie nights for scary movies and have meetings and have the theories thread where they have these like wild, insane, wonderful theories about our shows.
And our new educational guardian tier.
Yeah, we really do thrive because people decided that we are worth it. And I mean, I think we're worth it because Travis and I do this together and it's definitely worth it for us. But to have the internet tell us that we're worth it enough to be able to do this as our full-time jobs has changed our lives.
Absolutely.
6 years in.
6 years in and many more to come, hopefully. That's our goal. Well, thank y'all for listening. We're Fool and Scholar Productions. I'm Travis.
I'm Caitlin.
And we have more stories to share with you in the future. And thank you for sticking around and listening to this, not really an interview, more of a discussion, a reminiscence of 6 years of what we've been up to.
So, travel is not advised.
Do you seek him?
May the Archon watch over you.
Do you require assistance? Medical crew is currently unavailable to assist you.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.